What is up, people? It is Dave, it is Duncan, it is Kyle, back for another album review, A Metal Epidemic. For this review, Duncan and Kyle and I have been checking out the new album from Greek symphonic death metal band Septic Flesh.
Whoppa!
You think that's in their album somewhere? Whoppa!
The band's new album, Modern Primitive, will be released on May 20th via Nuclear Blast Records.
Let's get this out of the way at the start. The name of the album is Oxymoronic.
Oxymoronic, right.
Now, if I mention that later on, don't pull the confused face. Right. We explained it when we did the reaction.
Oxymoronic, right.
Oxymoronic. As okay. In taking two things that are different but bringing them together. Like they mean separate. That like parting is such sweet sorrow. Why can you have sweet sorrow? Sorrow should be sad, should be sweet. Right. Modern primitive.
Right.
Oxymoronic. Cool. There we are. That's now that we all have that out of the way, Dave.
That's your
continue
education for this review.
That's
see,
right.
We're educating minds.
This is what they would class as edutainment.
Absolutely is.
Thank you.
I'm going to show this in schools for decades to come.
I hope not. Yeah, like as a cautionary tale. Yeah. This is what happens when you drink and record.
31 years after the release of their debut EP.
What did you say?
31 years after the release of their debut EP.
One more time.
Temple of the Lost Race.
31! Is this the oldest band we've reviewed?
It might be.
Could be.
Is 31's older than Napalm Death. So
I was going to say Napalm Death.
Death was 85, so they're not quite 30.
Shit.
Oh, we were insane.
Yeah, maybe more than 30, I don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. So Napalm Death is the second oldest band we've reviewed? What?
Yeah.
That's still... Listen.
Still old. But you
say
31.
Shots fired.
That's my age. I'm 31.
Listen, these old fuckers.
I'm 31.
You're 31.
Yeah, me too. Nice try. I get the nice try.
Septic Flesh are set to deliver their latest long player entitled Modern Primitive.
How many albums then? 31
Oxymoronic.
Years? How many? A lot.
Fuck, it must be 9 or something by now.
What? 31 years? 9 albums? God.
Is this 11?
Well, they had a break, you see.
Album number 11. I think it's 11.
Album number 11. Yeah. Is there new members? This can't be the original lineup.
It's not the original lineup. No.
Good, right. Now we're back at... See, I should read the press.
Edutainment, ladies and gentlemen.
Edutainment.
This is their first album on Nuclear Blast, though. And is not less complex in the field of composition and lyricism than the albums before. But this time the band focuses more powerfully on the message and the theme that is addressed with the music and stands behind it. The thought-provoking, which already draws attention to the title of the album, Modern Primitive, Oxymoronic. The album was once again produced by Jens Bogren, who is responsible for the mixing of the album also. We reacted, as you said, but to one of the singles way back.
Neuromancer, Trent No. 4.
Check that out, links below. I think we were pretty much already here the rest of Modern Primitive at that point.
There was a band's name that was mentioned as a particular sound and vibe they had on that track that I was like, I wonder if that will appear again on this album, and it's marbled all the way through it like a slab of Wagyu beef.
Neuromancer was a strong single, so I was definitely intrigued to hear how the rest of this went, and it's an interesting one. I had quite high hopes going in, because that track felt to me like it could be on a kind of level with my personal favourite, Codex Amiga from 2017.
It's also saying a lot because you're the one that specifically made the point of saying they are symphonic death metal and I do not like this genre.
So, not a fan of the symphony.
You're putting that there. I'm not a fan of this, but I like this album and I like this song.
Like the death metal, not so much of the symphony, but, you know, I did really like that last album. Codex Amiga is a stunning album. This album, however, could be Septic Flesh at their most accessible to date. It's still very much Septic Flesh. You know, they haven't necessarily watered anything down. This is still symphonic death metal at its core, like always, you know. But on Modern Primitive, they managed to make it even catchier. You know, it's not any less heavy overall. Like, all the elements that make this band them are still there. You've still got the blast beats, the gutturals, the big discordant grooves, and that obviously the coating of symphonic metal. But I think they've definitely refined it on this release, and I think that's down to a few things. I think it's down to the fact that they've been working on this album for so long. Like, they were working on this album before COVID, then COVID hit, it got delayed, everything got delayed. So in some respects, they had more time to spend on the songs and maybe look at them, you know, outside the box. I also know that they now have a new full-time member in Psycon, who I think he joined the band just after the last album, but he was involved more in the writing of this album as well, which I think may have, you know, played a little bit of a part into how kind of revived the sounds. But there's also like a kind of organic kind of vibrancy to the sound on Modern Primitive that I haven't really heard from them before, both in the songwriting and the instrumentation used. They've added in some kind of traditional Greek and some Oriental instruments, which I think gives the album slightly less of a kind of clinical feel. But the tracks also feel slightly darker in tone, both musically and vocally.
It's a weird sort of, like, there's a vein of kind of almost Middle Eastern.
Yeah, 100%.
Kind of styles that they bring in specifically as lead-ins to choruses, which works surprisingly well. They shouldn't, as well as it sounds. So.
Yeah, and even though it feels darker, this album is the one that has the most clean vocals they've ever used. But I think those cleans play into the darker feel of the album at times as well. I think musically, the measurements of like each component of their sound is very spot on in this album. It never feels like they are really kind of pushing too much or holding on to a section for too long. It grooves for just the right amount of time before they switch into something more punishing or increase those symphonic elements. And they make those transitions very smoothly. They're very good at what they do. I noticed one little trick that they use is when they are like kind of grooving a riff. So like on a track like Psychohistory, for example, when the groove riff is staying the same on the guitar, and the drums will slowly transition from a groove to like a groove with double bass drums, and then he'll add in like an attacking snare, and then he'll move into like a blast beat. So he's almost like transitioning in the background, but the riff is staying the same, but he's changing the intensity. So when the guitars do eventually change and they start doing like a bit more kind of blast riffing, it doesn't sound like it's glued on or like it's come out of nowhere, because the drums have already provided that kind of shift in the background, which is quite clever. And those grooves, like we heard it on Neuromancer, the grooves are huge. Like nearly every track has a moment where you feel like this just immense weight coming from the guitars and the drums. Like they've really mastered how to make those sections really stand out, and part of that size also comes from the symphonic elements, not just the guitars, and I think that kind of synchronicity between those two parts is really well done here, even down to the quality of the sounds they've used for their symphonic stuff. Like a lot of symphonic bands, and partially the reason I hate it so much is they fail miserably because their choice of like string sounds or orchestration just sounds horrific. Like it's so cheap. Like they've just used the worst plugins or samples.
It's literally like a 20-year-old Roland synthesizer they've plugged in, and it's like, come on.
Yeah,
the thing is, with these guys, they generally do use a live orchestra for every album.
They do.
Plugins. It's not a library.
I understand the inclination to maybe cut some corners for cost.
But they did.
You're
they used
going
to do
call
that.
Yourself like, symphonic.
Yeah.
You should have a symphony behind
you, exactly.
And not play. And this is from a keyboard player.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have a keyboard player playing stringed instruments if you can get. True. String instrument playing musicians into the studio.
I can totally understand that. If you go back to their early albums, they use MIDI on those early albums, which is fair enough. They don't have the money.
Yeah, but that's because from the early 90s.
Exactly. But on the last kind of run of albums, they've obviously brought in an orchestra, and this one's exactly the same. They used the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, And the quality of that is unreal. Like, just unbelievable. There's a track called Coming Storm, where they really push the symphonic sounds. And it's not just like a kind of backing element on that track. It's really out in front. Almost feels like a film score on that track.
It
sounds immense. Like, even for someone who's not hugely into symphonic metal, it was a real highlight on the album. This is also probably the tightest, possibly, it's close to Codex Amiga in terms of the tightest the band have sounded. And they've always had a very kind of trim sound on CD, but I'd say this release really highlights that tightness. There's various sections, but there's a section on A Desert Throne where the guitars and drums are just so in sync. The patterns between the kick drums and the guitars are just ridiculously tight. And sure, like, some of that will be enhanced in production, and you know, but it doesn't even sound like overly chopped and edited. It still has a bit of fluidity. It's
very natural, yeah.
100%, it really is. And I think Septic Flesh have always, you know, been advocates of that on previous albums. They do like to keep things fairly natural. Vocally, though, I think this is a stunner. This could be one of their better albums in terms of the vocals. Not only because there's more contrast in styles between the heavy and the light stuff, Seth and, is it Sotiris, the other guy? But they've also included like vocal choirs in this as well, which really give this album size. But also, it can also feel a little bit creepy at times. Like, there's a couple of tracks where they use like a young child's voice. You hear it on Self-Eater, and I'm sure it's on Coming Storm as well. And it's like something straight out of a horror movie. It is like eerie as hell.
The band are called Septic Flesh, Dave.
Yeah. True.
Like,
true.
That's what I'm wanting. Like, you see that album artwork? That dude has a lot of, like, he doesn't have hair. He has skulls for hair.
Dead bodies for hair. All the kind of various vocal tones and ideas are very, very well thought out, very well arranged. And I loved all those little additional elements, even the little kind of like the kids' voices and stuff. It really adds to the album. My only kind of criticism of this album is sometimes it can feel like they are treading on familiar ground. They're very good at it.
And see, I think Dave,
the refinement of the Septic Flesh sound is excellent on Modern Primitive. But I did feel like there was a point in the album where I kind of heard all the Septic Flesh motifs, right?
You're not going to say it.
And it didn't really get much, much more. Like, by the time you hit Psycho History, which I think is track 8, and they level you with another Gojira meets Morbid Angel.
He said it, yes!
Type groove.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, nothing wrong with that. I'm all for the grooves. I love the grooves. But I have heard it like on pretty much every track so far on the album. So yeah, it does get a little bit repetitive. By the time you hit the end of the album, I was like, right, okay, I think I've pretty much heard everything you're going to do. But I still enjoyed it. Is this as good as Codex Amiga? No, it's not quite at that level. But I like the fact that they've done a bit of refinement. And I think as a band, they sound really in control of their instruments, more control they've ever been. And I think if you're a fan of Septic Flesh, you'll find a lot in this to love. If you're looking for an album that'll outdo Codex Amiga, maybe not, maybe slightly disappointed, but very solid. Like, I wasn't disappointed with it at all. Like, from listening to that first track we reacted to and then hearing the album, I still thoroughly enjoyed the album. How about you guys? Kyle, I know you dabbled in a bit of Septic Flesh before. What did you think?
I'm a massive fan of Septic Flesh. I was introduced, as they say in Greece when they try to speak English.
Were you alive back then, Kyle, when they released that EP?
Huh? Was I alive? Only just. I was 31. I was introduced to Septic Flesh by the guitarist in my progressive thrash band Profania in 2010.
Ooh.
Just before they released The Great Communion. Yeah, and I was like, because I was a huge fan of Dimmu Borgir. Well, I still am, but I mean, and there was not really any other sort of symphonic metal band like Dimmu Borgir, and they always tended to go towards black metal rather than death metal.
Yeah,
and guitarist, his name is Christy, he said, well, check out this band, you'll probably love them since you love death metal. And I was like, all right, I'll check them out. And then I was just fucking hooked. That was it. And I've followed every album since then, and of course gone back and listened to the others. And they're a very different band now than they were when they first started. Mm-hmm. I want to say that. Like, obviously,
well, Gojira's come out since then.
Well, yeah,
so.
Since then there's been Gojira, whole wave of French groove metal that they've just sort of hung on to being south of France. And they're using live orchestras, as they've done for the past decade or so. But, I mean, I've listened to every album to death. And this is... I mean, I don't want to... It's more... It's definitely more Septic Flesh, but I will go on and say, agree with you. It's more refined, more accessible. Mm-hmm. It's definitely got all of the elements you want in a Septic Flesh album. Plus a little bit here, I think... they've managed to, I mean, I've always said this is a great thing about Septic Flesh. It's like with Dimmu Borgir, you've got a metal band, a black metal band, and a symphony, and they're like kind of playing on top of each other. Mm-hmm. You can remove one of the elements and you can have a pretty good song. With Septic Flesh, you really can't do that. Yeah. If you take the orchestra out, it's not a full song. If you take the metal stuff out, it's just nothing. There's lots of points where they don't use the full orchestra. They'll use, you know, a string section or a brass section or just a percussion or something, or just one instrument or one vocal. And it's really interesting how they do it. And I think they've really nailed it down to an art in this album. They really have. It might not hit the levels of intensity as it did on Titan or Codex Omega. But, I mean, I think it's definitely way more Septic Flesh than I ever could have bargained for. Let's put it that way. Absolutely. When we heard Neuromancer, there was hair standing on the back of my neck, as this band always do with me. I absolutely love the way they mix it all together. And it's just, it feels like one cohesive, massive unit. There's, you know, there's got to be 80 instruments playing at one time at some parts. And it's just, all of it's so put together so well and mixed within an inch of its life. Because you have to with that many instruments. You've got basses, you've got bass guitar, bass, you've got cellos, violins, brass, you've got all of this stuff. And you've got to be very careful. I've tried to do it myself. It's fucking hard. But it still sounds natural.
Yep.
It doesn't sound like it's completely chopped up and edited and fucked about with. It sounds absolutely fantastic. And like you were saying, the drums as well. I've never heard drums like this on a Septic Flesh album. Yeah, they've done it like... kind of before, but this drummer is absolutely on top of his fucking game, and the band is better for it. The transition, he's the, like you were saying, the little fills, the little things here and there. You've got to listen to this like 7 times to really appreciate what he's doing. And there's so much going on, but it never gets overwhelming either. I mean, sometimes it does because they want it to, like on that one track you mentioned, Coming Storm. Fuck me, some of those passages in there is just like, whoa.
Yeah.
It really, all of my hairs were standing on it. Every single one I've got, I was like a mohawk. So yeah, I mean, I've been a huge fan of Septic Flesh for a long time, and this is absolutely not a disappointment. I don't know, I could gush about this for hours, clearly. I was feeling the loss a little bit, because it's been 5 years since the last one, and they tend to be like an every 3 year album band, and except when they broke up in 2003, that was 5 years. But I mean, kind of feeling like,
had it not been for COVID, we probably would have got this, you know,
in
the 3 years kind of time period.
But maybe that break, as you say, helped them refine it a bit more and bring it back. I mean, I'm glad it's not more of exactly the same as Codex Omega and Titan and that, because I like the way they brought in more clean vocals, more of the choral elements and stuff like that, because it really does contrast with the rest of the band and makes the heavy stuff more heavy because of the contrast. And I love what they've done with this album, and I hope they carry on refining it and controlling it a bit more. I mean, it sounded a bit out of control on Coming Storm with those, you know, low down violin and cello passages. It's fucking nuts. But yeah, I've listened to this a lot. Nice. I will disagree with you though on one thing, because like you said, it got a little bit too much of it by the second to last track. I'm just like, nah, give me more. Come on, bring it on. I'll never say no to more Septic Flesh.
Good enough. Duncan?
Let me edutain you.
All right, Robbie Williams.
Looks a bit like Robbie Williams.
I literally don't know how to take that. I don't know if that's a compliment or
that's
a slight
insult. Yeah,
yeah, is it an insult? Oh, fuck you. just off that point, I'm going to agree with Dave. This album should have finished on track 7. I think Modern Primitive is actually, the self-titled track is a great way to finish the album. The fact there's two songs after this, and by the end of it, I was like, huh, and then we're going on, right, and then we're going on. And the big thing about this is, and I know I was kind of joking in the background, the reason I'm surprised when you said 31 years is Gojira haven't been on the go for 31 years. And
no. It's, but Morbid Angel have. So
yes, the huge dose of Morbid Angel influence in totally makes sense.
Which that's where Gojira get it, 100%.
Yes, yeah. But the way they're utilising it here is more akin to Gojira than it is to...
Sound-wise, it's production.
Yeah, it's not even production, it's intensity as well. You know, like those grooves, Morbid Angel have them for days. As someone that got into them like well later on than he should have and started to appreciate the influence that they had because they were a band that were forever being mentioned as a prominent. I was like, well, are they? And then I listened to it, I was like, yeah, it turns out they are. But in a way where I can appreciate that, unlike Shots Fired, bands like Iron Maiden, where everyone's like, well, if it isn't for Iron Maiden, give me Pantera. Yeah, and I've seen all the three videos and they never mentioned I've made them fucking once. So there you go. But like, it's difficult to disassociate some of the riffing on that album from some of those Gojira traits that are in here. Specifically when you're going like, you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. And you would think that would make me go, well, and I do this a lot on here where I'm like, ah, oh, they're just caught. But there's something about it where when all that symphonic stuff kicks in and the vocals are doing stuff that isn't Gojira-esque, that's what I enjoy about this. It's taking a sound or a vibe, which, yes, is akin to its influences for sure and the influences that came afterwards. And even Slayer wrote a new metal song, so come on. If you're around long enough, you start to incorporate. It's inevitable. If you are still playing and still writing music the same way you were 31 years ago, then there's the fucking door and don't let it hit you on the way out. Like, what's the fucking point? Like, you have to adapt and you have to change. You have to include things. It's the difference between having, like we mentioned before, MIDI era program symphonics and actually being able to get people in with real instruments and play. The difference is instantly recognizable. What this band have that few bands I think grasp on, and Dave mentioned it specifically for one track, but I think it's actually kind of almost prevalent in all of it, is the idea of score. It's the idea of theatric score and movie. Like, I could imagine almost every single song on this album playing to a visual. And that's a huge, like, symphonic anything should have that. Symphonies are designed in part to be, originally when they were constructed, to be played along with a visual element, whether it's ballet or a play or whatever. And I always intrinsically link that in there, and listening to some of the huge elements in here, and there are sections that are so grandiose and so weighty and so massive sounding that I feel myself transition to, oh, this could be a battle scene in a movie, or this, you know, it just leans, it ingratiates itself into that. And that's just that element, which, to be honest, if you can, like, that in itself is a monumental task just to do if you were just dealing with a symphony. The fact that they can then incorporate what they do from the death metal element into that and make it sound like it's all supposed to be there is almost mind-blowing to me, because there are lazy ways to do it, and we've heard the lazy ways to do it. Dimmu Borgir don't necessarily do it lazily, but I know what you're saying, Kyle. It does at any point feel like you could have just like a version of an album released without the black metal stuff, and you can listen to it. It's that way. It almost feels like two composers sitting down there. Your job is to do this and your job is to do that, and as a result it kind of works, but you could separate them relatively easy.
That's not to take away from Dimmu Borgir, because I love them
not
too,
at all, because that's one of the few bands of that ilk that I actually can listen to. Septic Flesh, though, it's on a different level. There's real thought to the composition. Mm-hmm. Like, the instrumentation isn't just playing what the guitars are doing, or like solely trying to keep rhythm, or what the it's specifically written for that.
And it's not like classical orchestral stuff either. It's not like, oh, we're just going to put this orchestral flutter in the background. It's like really in there,
But also on top of that, the fact that we mentioned Greek instrumentation, Middle Eastern vibes and all the rest, that's coming from the band. So the band aren't just writing death metal. They have an understanding, a concept of classic ways to write music from different parts of the world. Which, once again, when you add that on top, just gives like me like a chubby for what they're doing. I genuinely, there's a part of me that loves when bands manage to take elements out with what they should sound like and understand the fundamental core of the building blocks of how that music's written and then manage to adapt it in. And Septic Flesh make it sound very, 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 very easy. Vocally, I love this. Like, I think the two tones work so well together. You've got that kind of almost spoken quasi death metal, black metal delivery that just grims everything. So when those areas open up for the kind of more melodic tone vocals, which still have a bit of grit to them, weirdly reminded me a little bit of Mushroom Head. Sorry, don't want to upset anyone. And like when those come in as well, it opens things up. They don't overuse it either. Like, not every song on this album has a section where he's doing these vocals and we have like a mandolin playing in the background or anything like that. That's not how they approach things. Dave's touched on it as well. The fact that they then extend it out to kind of choir vocals, people, little girl vocals, female vocals, like all this stuff is just, and it's used really, really well to benefit the song as opposed to be a gimmick. And that, to me, makes me enjoy it as well. The production on this is insane considering what they're doing. We talked about months ago Diablo Swing Orchestra, which we're literally bringing an orchestra in to do all that stuff, and we're like, well, everything is just a bit too squeaky clean, like you could eat your dinner off it, and I don't know if I feel happy about that. On this one, it does feel like the band is on stage and there's a symphony behind them, and that is to its testament. It shouldn't be too clean, but at the same time, I should be able to make out everything that's happening, and they do that very well, so that balance works incredibly well. To link it back to the original point, by the time Modern Primitive is played and finished, I think it's the perfect finishing song, because vocally it's got this really, really cool hook on the more clean vocals that kind of links it back in as a concept to the album. I love it. Psycho History feels like a bit of a fuck around. It's the only track on the album that I didn't really connect with overall. And A Dreadful Muse is a great closing song, but it's not as strong as Modern Primitive. I feel like the album is two songs long than it should be.
Totally disagree.
That's literally my only issue with it. Everything else, I think, is fucking spot on. And they're not a band that was overlisted.
I can see it. I can see what you're saying, but I'm just like, nah, give me more.
I think that's the thing. If you are a mark for this band, we're linking them all together. It's like the inception of music reviews. It's like review within a review within a review. If you're on this level, everything's fucked. I imagine if you are in the world of Septic Flesh, where what they do is just like, it just makes you feel all warm and cozy and fuzzy inside. An extra two songs, like it's like Nine Inch Nails bring out a new album and they're like, you know, instead of doing 20 songs, we've decided to do 30. I'm still going to rave about that album, even if realistically it's 10 songs too long. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'll just keep giving me more. I can understand that. I, very much like Dave, felt like I knew every trick they had, every element, every little nuance that they had by track 7. And those final two tracks, whilst they're fine, I don't think do anything to elevate it. or enhance it beyond that. They're still good songs, though. I'm complaining because the serving of food I got was too much for my belly. That is literally the issue that I have right now. I've taken a shit and it didn't go away in one flush. I had to do two flushes. They're not a band that were ever on my radar. Or a band I was aware of. I'm not like you guys that haven't checked out previous stuff like Kyle all the way back to the beginning, or even like Dave, who had like a favourite album already in the tank coming at this. I had Neuromancer as a song we reacted to that I enjoyed. And the danger was, how will the rest of the album stack up to that? The rest of the album more than stacks up to it in a way, which made me, like, I would call myself a Septic Flesh fan. I would go and see these guys live. Yeah. Just from hearing this album alone, I would go and see them live because I enjoyed it that much. Mm-hmm. A couple of gripes aside, I think it's fucking great.
Nice. Okay. Ratings for Modern Primitive. I'm going to be honest here. My grade has come down since the first listen to this album.
I thought you were about to say since Duncan started talking.
All right, no, no.
You'll do that. You'll talk too long and then you'll hate it.
I had a grade in mind after my first listen, and then the more I listened to it, the more I kind of found it a little bit repetitive as I got towards the end of the album. And I still, as I said, I don't think it's quite on the level of that last album, to be honest. Still very good. Very solid album, and it's enjoyable. I don't know how much I'm going to go back to it throughout the year in comparison to other albums I've heard, but still strong. I go 4 out of 5 on this one. Kyle, what are you thinking?
I think that last track has got like a apocalyptic melancholy about it that I just love, and I think that's sort of why I like it more, because I just love those sorts of album endings. And it just cuts at the end, it just ends. They've written an ending, it just goes, that's it. Yeah.
Also, oxymoronic.
Doesn't fit it. Yeah, exactly, see?
Linking it back in.
Linking it back into my
it's
first of the
circle
year.
Circle of life.
Circle of 5s out of 5.
Oh,
yeah.
Boom.
I'm doing it.
He pulled that right out of nowhere, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Kyle.
That's it.
It's fucking mysterious, isn't it? Duncan. What are you thinking?
I got something to say. It's 4 out of 5. I'm with Dave on this one. I was always a 4, to be fair. I really like this. I really, really, really like this. I think Nuclear Blast is a great fit for this band. I think they've released something. I have no context. This is a surprisingly accessible album. Like, really, like, there's at least 5 songs on this that would make fucking great singles, and I would listen to them. And it makes me kind of. This is one of those weird occasions where this is not necessarily a return listen to the album as a whole, but there's a good 4 or 5 songs that I can see myself easily throughout the year going back to listen to. Mm-hmm. Just because of the way they make me feel, the grandiose nature of them. It's a great album. It's a really, 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 really good album. 31 years in. We should also lean into that. This is 31 years in and they're releasing an album this, which is fucking impressive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, nice. Septic Flesh, Modern Primitive, out on May 20th on Nuclear Blast Records. Links below to the Bandcamp, to the Facebook. Check them out. Let us know what you think. Happy to hear your thoughts and opinions on it. That's the review. We'll be back with another review very soon, but until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Let me entertain you. Da, da, da.
Yeah, goodbye.